Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. Everyone, this is one more episode of the Follow English podcast. Today is February 4th, 2006. My name is Marcos Gazana and I'm speaking from Porto Alegre in the south of Brazil. This is episode 102 of the Follow English podcast, and today I'm going to be speaking about studying English in an English-speaking country. The idea of today's podcast is to discuss some of the issues that you have to consider before going abroad to study English, and also to talk a little bit about some of the traps that you may fall into in case you decide to go abroad. So the first thing to bear in mind when you're planning to go abroad to study English is the course, how to choose the course. And I think one very important thing here is to get some recommendations from people who have already done that. Read testimonials, go online, check the sites, check the possibilities, maybe even email the school and see the different possibilities, what they're offering you. And it's very important to know about the reputation of the school, if the school has a good reputation, and to make sure that you won't make the wrong decision. And the second thing about the course is to think about the number of hours that you want to study. Most of the schools, again, not all, but most of the schools abroad, whether you go to UK or United States or Australia, New Zealand, they offer Canada, they offer a wide variety, a wide range of possibilities. And most of these possibilities are intensive courses for people who want to go abroad, and classes from Monday to Friday, for example. And these can range from like 2 hours a day up to 5 hours a day. And so anywhere between 10 hours a week and 25 hours a week, something like that. There may be some different possibilities, but I'm talking about most of the schools. And this is quite a heavy load if you think about hours of study. So you might think about what's ideal for you. If you like being in contact with the language and you want to concentrate only on studying, and then I mean classroom, the kind of classroom study, or if you want also to spend your time meeting people and going to different places and visiting tourist attractions and things like that. That's one thing we often do when we go abroad to study English. We have like part of the day to visit places and to meet people and to relax. So that's one thing to consider, the number of hours, because depending on how your schedule looks like, you might have more or less time to do the other things. Also, thinking about the course, one last point here that you should consider is whether you want to study general English or if you want to do some preparation for exams or even take a course on your professional field. And many language schools abroad, they offer specific courses for specific fields. I don't know, be it law or engineering or human resources, medical English, legal English. So all those options. Some schools, they offer different options for professionals. Another point to think about when you're going abroad is the accommodation. And for accommodation, I did some research here on the internet and also from my own experience, and there are basically four main options. One of them is homestay. And homestay basically means you're going to be staying with a family. And of course, there are pros and cons here, because depending on how adaptable you are, you might have problems with the family. And I think one good advantage, if you decide to stay with a family, is that you can have more contact with the language. You can get involved with the culture of the country. So if you get along well with the family, that might be a plus. That might be a good idea. And so you will have more contact with the language. You will you will see native speakers doing the everyday things they do, and you will learn a lot about the culture as well. So I think it's a good bet. But on the other hand, if you are unlucky, let's say, you might not adapt well to the culture or even to the family, to the people, yeah, because, you know, I think most of the language schools abroad, they have a number of possibilities in terms of homestay, where they also know the family well, and they know if the family, I don't know, has pets, or if the family allows people to smoke, or you know, this kind of thing. So it's a good thing to do before you go, to think about all these possibilities, the advantages and disadvantages, and if you decide to stay with family. The second option in terms of accommodation would be students' residence. Students' residence is a place where many students have their own rooms, and most of the times there is a common area where people can go and cook. Maybe there is a living room or something where people go and sit and watch TV together. So this might be a good way to socialize with people from different countries. Again, the advantage here is that you have more independence, and you will probably have your own room and stuff. But on the other hand, maybe you will meet a lot of people from the same country as you come from, and then, you know, you will end up using your native language, your mother tongue, and then you won't get as much practice as you might be expecting. So students' residence is a good option, in my opinion, but you have to be careful, and I think it's a good idea to try to get to know the kind of place you're going to stay and the kind of people who are going to be there as well. A third option would be renting your own apartment or house. That might be more expensive. Indeed, it will give you a lot more freedom than the other options, because then basically you're on your own, you can do your own cooking, and you can come and go anytime you want. But that might be more expensive, and also it might not be a very good option if you think about if you're not a very sociable person, and it's difficult for you to meet people and make new friends, you might end up alone in your apartment, and then, you know, not have all that contact with English that you might be expecting to. Then one last option in terms of accommodation would be to stay in a cheap hotel or hostel, or even in a bed and breakfast, or some cheaper, low budget kind of accommodation, you know. That might be a bit cheaper than renting your own flat. And again, you might not be meeting the kind of people that you imagine, because maybe people in a hostel, they're just travelers. They're not there to learn the language. And again, you might meet a lot of people from your own country and then not get as much practice in English as you are expecting to. So this is it about accommodation. I think you have to weigh up the pros and cons of each of the option, and also consider the cost of each one of them, and then you will make your own decision. Another point I would like to make here is about technology. I think technology is very helpful when you're learning a language, a foreign language. But in some cases, it also might hinder your progress. I mean that it's very easy nowadays to go to your to pick up your phone and start sending messages to your friends and start Skyping your family and stuff like that. And these things are inevitable in a way, but you have to remember that if you are spending a lot of money on flight tickets, accommodation, a course and everything, you want to make the most of your out of your money, you know? And then it's always a good idea to avoid contacting people from your own country all the time. I know it's inevitable to contact your family, your friends every once in a while, but you might fall in the trap into this trap of doing that all the time, and that will probably spoil your progress in the learning process. One important thing I think that people should bear in mind when they're having an experience like that, when they go abroad, is to focus on vocabulary in use. What do I mean by that? When you are abroad, it's the time that you have to focus on vocabulary and have contact with native speakers of the language. In the case of English, I used to, back in the early 90s, when I lived in UK for a little while, I used to keep my own dictionary. I kind of created my own dictionary. It's basically what I did was write the new words and on a piece of paper, and then when I got home, I would go to the dictionary and study those words and try to learn some expressions you could use with those words. So I was whenever I was on a bus or using public transport, walking around the streets or something like that, I overheard some expression, I would stop and take notes, and then when I got back home, I would look up that word in the dictionary and try to study about all the possibilities with that particular word. And that helped me a lot, in fact. So I think focusing on vocabulary rather than grammar is an important point when you are abroad, for a simple reason, because grammar, I think if you think about grammar, the verb tenses and stuff like that, this you can easily pick up even if you're studying back home in your own country. But vocabulary and expressions and all this contact with native speakers is something unique when you're having an experience like that abroad. So that's it. That's what I wanted to discuss. I hope I gave you some good tips, and I hope you have a good experience if you decide to go abroad. And one final piece of advice is that I don't think that going abroad is a magical solution. So there are lots of people who resort to going abroad and taking an intensive course for like 2-3 weeks, thinking that this will solve their problems. But I think learning a language has to be here and now. So wherever you are, you have to find time to be in contact with the language. Nowadays we have the internet, and we have all these possibilities, like watching videos and listening to podcasts and things like that. So I think learning the language is here and now. Of course, an experience like that abroad will help you a lot, will help you get in touch with the culture and with the language in use. And these are the main advantages of going abroad. To finish, I would like to remind you that the webpage for this podcast is at pod.followenglish.com.br. You can subscribe via email, or you can subscribe via iTunes or Podomatic. Now we're also on podcasts.com. And please follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You can just look for Follow English altogether in one word. Remember, you can send emails with comments, or if you have any questions, you can send emails to info@followenglish.com.br, BR for Brazil. And so thank you for watching, if you're watching, or thank you for listening, if you're listening. I'll see you next time. Bye.